Good morning, everybody. At 9:17, time now for the Mary Griffith Show for the last Friday in June. June 28th, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. With premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches, they're hand-roasted and delivered fresh to assure you a rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. You can have that delivered to your door thanks to Refreshment Services Pepsi, or look for it wherever you buy your coffee at the convenience store nearest you. First half of the program, glad to have in from the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County a couple of guests. We've got Beth and Jim in here this morning, Beth Young and Tim Jacobs. Good morning to you both. Glad for you to be here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, basically.
Good to be on board.
Yes, glad to have you here both. I've got the July Historical Society Governor's Post copy here for the summer, and one thing, wanted to talk about a Quincy native that I think most folks know, and that's John Anderson, mm-hmm. and the fact that he was born here, but I didn't realize, and you've got a great two-page spread about it, I didn't realize that he made a movie here. Back in the 70s.
He did. Tim's your expert on that.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, 1970, he came back, and they made a movie called A House Divided about the Lincoln-Douglas debate. it's a fascinating movie in the fact that all the extras were people from Quincy who just dressed up and showed up. And the horses that they used came from the Neiman family. The buckboard came from the Campbell family, and so it was quite a production. It didn't do quite as well at the box office. In fact, I don't think it was ever really put out to the general public. But they did have a gala here at the Quincy Junior High School with red carpet and limousines, and it was quite an opening right here in Quincy.
Yeah, looking at the article, though, it looks like that the opening, once they got inside and started with the movie, looks like it didn't go well.
No.
From the article, it basically says that people in the back couldn't hear any of the dialogue, and they had to stop the movie at one point to do some maintenance, basically.
It was a bit of a debacle, but I guess that just portent to what happened to the movie. When we were going to show this in 2010, or about 2005, we were told that there were copies of this movie at the library or at the schools, and so we went and tried to find it. There was no copy to be found.
Wow.
It took us 5 years. My good friend Barbara Rowell from the community theater, she said she thought she could find it, and she put it out. And after about 2 years, she said, "I think we're dead in the water." And we get a call from the University of Maryland, of all places, and they say, "We think we have it." Well, we'd had that happen a couple of times, and we didn't feel like it was probably a good thread, but by golly, they had it. It was in beta format. They sent us actually, they'd put it on beta from 35 millimeter reels, and so we finally got it. We were able to remaster it a little bit and made a VHS copy first. It's been that long ago.
Yeah.
Now we have it on DVD. We did show that again in 2010 down at the community theater and had kind of a reopening, and you could see why it wasn't widely...
Not our finest moment.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Although several of the people that had been in the movie as extras were there, and I think they got a real kick out of it. We did have about 500 people there.
Yeah, but let's just say probably it was okay for its time, but
yeah.
This is now not its time, so
right.
I understand. But I think it's just a credit that you're able to convert a beta copy to VHS. That's the thing, because that's not easy.
No, not at all.
I can remember I was at junior high at that time when beta was out. We thought we were just uptown, that was such a magnificent thing with those reels and stuff.
you were, because in terms of actual video quality, beta is better than VHS, but it was just in terms of what was accepted on the market. It's just another thing. But this all leads into the fact that the Historical Society is going to host a John Anderson Film Festival next couple of times next month.
Yeah, the House Divided film did not detract from John Anderson's long career in stage and film. He was in nearly every TV production from the 50s for the next five decades, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And so we're going to do a little program on his life and how he came to Quincy and how he grew up here. And then we're going to do From Gunsmoke to MacGyver. So Gunsmoke being his 1950 production where he and James Arness had a fight that they used as a prototype to teach people how to stage a fight. And then he played Richard Dean Anderson, no relation, who played MacGyver in the 1990s. And he played MacGyver's grandfather.
Yeah, I remember that. And if you talk to people who were born in a certain age, remember MacGyver, it's like, oh, yeah, he's MacGyver's granddad.
Yeah,
exactly. That'll be the Society, the film festival. It'll be going on two dates. And the first one on August 11th, 2 o'clock, you'll mention From Gunsmoke to MacGyver. And then the second one on the 25th, you'll be talking about the Hallelujah Trail as well.
Yeah. Well, the Hallelujah Trail was probably the only comedy that John Anderson was in, and he was very funny, and the list of people in that that film is just amazing. Many people that people will know. This was made at a time when movies had intermission, so it will be a little long, but it does keep your attention and very entertaining, and really that crowning glory of comedy for John Anderson.
Exactly. And both of those performances, both of those are going to be free, open to the public at the Quincy Senior Center at 639 York. And best of all, Tim Jacobs, you will be the guest speaker.
Yeah, I'm going to give a little on John Anderson's life. He was actually born out in Clayton, and I'm from Camp Point, so we were out from the provinces. But he spent most of his time right here in Quincy, and in downtown Quincy. He was very tied to downtown Quincy.
Yeah, for sure. So that is coming up in August. Alongside is Beth Young. First, Beth, I wanted to ask you, how plans are going with the construction that you've got planned and the additions to the museum itself?
Once
how are
again,
those going?
You want to go to Expert Tim. I'm not on the board anymore. I hear little snippets, but I think it's going reasonably well. Nothing to be ashamed of, but Tim can fill you in.
Okay.
Well, we're in a capital campaign. We did get quite a nice grant from the state of Illinois in 2018. Unfortunately, COVID got in between there, and by the time we got the money, about 5 years later, construction costs had gone up 40% to 50%. So we're kind of struggling now to come up with a little extra money. But we really do need to make our museum right across the street here ADA compatible. So we need elevators, we need some restrooms, and it's very difficult for some of our older patrons to get up to the second floor where we do our programs. And that's why we're doing our programs at the Senior Center at this point.
Okay. All right. We're at 925, and alongside from the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County is Beth Young and Tim Jacobs. And wanted to touch on, coming up in early October, you've got a symposium about the Civil War.
Right. It's our fifth one. We started, the first one was in 2018. COVID messed us up a tad. But it is this fall, the 4th and 5th of October. It's at the Croc Center. We rent the Croc for that particular thing, particular event. We have some wonderful speakers. Some have been here before, some have not. It's I hope, a good thing. We usually have between 150 and 180 people. 150 was the first one after COVID. The speakers are national experts. Anyone who watches C-SPAN and knows much about the Civil War is used to seeing at least two or three of them. It's free and open to the public, but you do have to be registered. You know, we've tried to follow the Croc policy and the fire marshal policy, certainly, and you would call the Historical Society, which is 222-1835, and get a reservation, but it is free.
Okay, so there'll be one program on Friday, October the 4th, and that'll start in the evening. And then the next day, you'll be having a bunch of things going on with the speakers that you had, and also some local speakers as well.
Right. Actually, not to correct you, but...
Please do.
Well, the teacher in me says I don't want to hurt the students' feelings, but no, it's Dr. Tim Smith and Dr. Harry Laver. Are on Friday night, starting at 7 o'clock. Tim Smith is an expert on several battles, and Shiloh especially. He's going to speak about Albert Sidney Johnston, who is the subject of Dr. Smith's new book. And after Dr. Smith is Dr. Harry Laver, who works in the War College in what, Jim?
Leavenworth, Kansas.
Okay. So we've heard him speak, and he's very, very good. And he's going to be talking about three Illinois generals, Grant, McClernand, and Logan. Then Saturday morning we have what we call an early bird session, and it's three 15 to 20-minute segments this year. The first one is Dr. J. Matthew Ward, who teaches at QU. He's a wonderful, wonderful addition to their staff, I think. He's going to talk about his new book, which was published by LSU. It deals with the Civil War in Louisiana. Its title is Garden of Ruins. At 8:20, our own Dr. George Cricard is going to talk about the medical maladies of Abraham Lincoln. And at 8:35, if all goes well, we're going to have a premiere of some videos that are being made, a company in Wisconsin. The lady in charge of it is Beverly Villancourt, and she's been doing a lot of work on those videos. And the videos, how would you say what they are?
I would say it's going to highlight Woodland Cemetery and some of the Civil War people that we have highlighted there. So she's going to really make a good film out of those, and we'll get some good press on the people that we've found from the Civil War who are buried in Woodland Cemetery.
And these will be made available to schools, public and private. We've divided the coverage three groups. There'll be a military group, and she's almost finished with the military group. Then there'll be a medical group. And that's what she's starting on next. I think there's six military, five medical, and then a category that we're just calling potpourri, for lack of a better better term. And we're getting some help from the Civil War Roundtable here in town to pay for it, and some help from a grant that was obtained in the public schools. But it will be available to all schools, public and private. And there'll be student workbook-type materials with it. So we're trying to, as Tim said, we're trying to highlight the cemetery and the Civil War.
And Quincy's contribution to to that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I see that the day will end with a dedication ceremony at Woodland Cemetery as well.
Right. Should we go there, or do you want me to go back to the lineup?
Whatever you would like.
I want to do what you'd like to do. The 9 o'clock first major speaker, not to say the others are minor, but is Dr. Kurt Fields at 9, and he's going to talk about how Grant basically saved Lee from being executed or imprisoned. There were many, many people who wanted that to happen. Then Brian Fox Ellis, who's up, he's from north of Macomb. He's going to portray a riverboat captain, Henry Detweiler, who lived in Peoria, and he's using his diary. Detweiler went up and down the Mississippi and the Illinois, and so Ellis is going to do that presentation. And at 11:30 is the only person who's been to all five symposia as a speaker, and that's Dr. Sam Wheeler from the state Supreme Court. He's going to talk about Mary Lincoln's insanity or whatever.
right, exactly, because it had an effect on the Lincoln presidency.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and her son, the relationship with the son, and
Exactly.
The ugliness and how it ended. And
yeah, exactly. And then, of course, 2 o'clock, then the marker dedication ceremony at the graveside of Dr. Daniel Wood at Woodland Cemetery.
Absolutely. And we're sort of secondary there. We're not sponsoring. The Sons of the American Revolution, based the nearest chapters in Jacksonville, and they're doing all the heavy lifting. We're just going to provide some decoration and support. But, they're really excited about it. I think they're doing a really nice job.
Nice, nice. One last thing before we're done with the segment here. It's always important that folks know about the Civil War, not just, you know, about the battles, but why it happened and the forces that led up to it and then even what happened after it. It's always important for us to know that, isn't it?
Yes, and I think there are some people who will say the Civil War started before the American Revolution, right at the end of the American Revolution. There are some who say the Civil War is still going on. It's a fascinating, to me, it's a fascinating field of interest.
Yeah, yeah. And if folks want to find out more about the symposium or the John Anderson Film Festival, they just need to contact the Historical Society, right?
Right. Just call, and the office manager, Susie, will help them out and get them registered or answer the questions or whatever.
All right, very good.
222-1835. 1835 was the year the mansion was built.
Very good, very good. Beth Young, Tim Jacobs with the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County. Thank you both for being on with us here on the Mary Griffith Show. 9:33 when we come back, we'll get you caught up on the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. That's on the way on WTAD.